Have you ever looked back on your life and thought to yourself, I wish I knew then what I know now? There's a song that I didn't know was attributed to Rod Stewart, actually. I just knew the chorus because it made me think of this when I was writing this sermon. I wish that I knew then what I know now when I was younger. I wish that I knew then what I know now when I was stronger. The chorus is the only part of the song I actually knew, but as I think about Senior Sunday, where we honor and celebrate those graduates making a big transition in their lives, I'm brought right back to my senior graduation. I'm transported back in time to McLean County High School in our gymnasium. I don't remember who all gave speeches, sorry. I don't remember much except that I had to give a speech because I was the senior class president, which seemed like a good idea at the time when I decided to run for senior class president, but I wish I knew then what I know now, how difficult it can be to contact people 10 years down the road, 20 years, 30 years down the road. As I reflect on senior graduate Scott, there is so much that I would want to tell him. How to avoid some mistakes, to prepare to face struggles and difficulties. There's so much that I would tell 18-year-old Scott. Then there's so much I would also tell college graduate Scott. If we fast forward 4 years, we sit in the practice facility at Kentucky Wesleyan College because the rain had not allowed us to have our graduation outside, which we typically did. So we had to have graduation cram-packed into our gymnasium. We had a guy from CNN who came to speak to us. I don't remember anything that he said. I just remember him being from CNN. Because at the time, I knew all I needed to know about life. I had just completed 4 years of college. I was 22. What could this guy teach me? I wish I knew then what I know now. We fast forward 3 years. I'm serving as an assistant pastor. I'm working on completing seminary. I had made a few social media posts that were not well thought out by myself, and I found myself in a deep theological discussion, debate, argument with a member of the church I was serving about something I said that I had said on my end that I should not have said. I should have been more considerate and thoughtful. I wish I knew then what I know now. That saying could be said of all of us, regardless of our age. Throughout our lived life experiences, we see our perspectives change as we hopefully grow older and wiser. That's what experience does to us. It affects how we interpret life based on our experiences. Oftentimes, the older we get, the more we understand about ourselves and our perspectives, how they've changed over time. For each of those seniors that are listening or watching, you will look back and say to yourselves, I wish I knew then what I know now. It's human nature. It's part of life. It's part of growing. It's part of living. And that also applies to all those who are watching in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 100s. It's something that happens over time. We grow and nurture. In our focus passage, we see this very same thing happen to the disciples. They have a different perspective now that Jesus has lived among them, now that Jesus has been crucified on the cross, and then now that Jesus has rose from the dead, we see their perspectives begin to change as he opens their minds. Our focus passage comes after Jesus' death and resurrection, and after he has already appeared to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. He is just now sharing a meal with them as they're eating some fish together. And he says these words from Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, verses 44 through 53. Then he being Jesus, said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead, and on the third day that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem." you are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending you upon what my Father had promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him, and then returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple blessing God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. These are the last words written in Luke's gospel. And I don't know exactly what the disciples were thinking, but maybe they were thinking, I wish we had known then what we know now about Jesus when he was with us. I wish we understood all that he was talking about in the parables and his teachings. But again, isn't that part of life, to grow and to develop, to gain perspective? In verse 45, the text reads, then he being Jesus, opened their minds to understand the scriptures. From that point on, the disciples are to interpret scripture and understand life in light of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. It has forever changed their life and their perspective. For us, there are moments throughout our lives and throughout history that affects how we perceive life. Think about all that's happened in the history of the world or in the history of the United States, for example, or all over. You have World War I, World War II. You have the Holocaust, the Great Depression, the Civil Rights Movement, the Women's Suffrage Movement. These are just glimpses in history that affect our perspective today. Think about how 9/11 changed us. And yes, I think in some ways, this virus is going to change some of our perspectives, hopefully open our minds to focus on what's important in life. The disciples are to understand life knowing about Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. They are to know that and proclaim the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name to all the nations. They have come to understand this is a new practice, a new way of living out their faith. As Jesus says to his disciples, thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection changed them and their perspective. They see it all differently now. Many of you might not be aware, but I was engaged when I was in seminary. We decided to end our engagement as we saw our lives taking different paths, and we realized that this wasn't the best decision for us. It was difficult because you see this person in your life for a long time. And it was hard and it was painful. But in the midst of that pain, I wish I knew then what I know now, that I would eventually find someone to spend my life with and I would get married down the road. Or there's also that time in high school when I scored very low, embarrassingly low on my ACTs, and I thought that I wouldn't get into college. I thought my life was ruined because I struggled with that test. And it was painful and embarrassing at times, although I tried to hide it. If I knew then what I know now, that I could work hard and get through it. When is a moment in your life that you have been shaped from something that happened? A moment that gave you perspective. Go ahead and take a moment to write that into the comment section or share with someone that you're watching the feed with. When is a moment in your life that shaped you, that formed you, that molded you, that gave you perspective? I'll give you a few moments to share. Each of us have and will continue to have moments and life experiences that affects us and forms us. Each of you graduates will have life experiences that you would not expect. They might change your view of the world, and it might change your faith and grow it deeper, is my hope and prayer, and open our minds to different perspectives in life. Jesus opens our minds all the time to the way things are and the way things should be. He opens our minds to show at times just how messed up our priorities can be. Focus on so many things in this life. Our wealth, our resources, power, greed, things that we think are important. But I believe that right now Jesus is showing up to show us the things that aren't nearly as important as we think. Rather, we are seeing how important friendships are and family and community. We are understanding the value of relationships. In our text, the disciples immediately began worshiping Jesus as he left them, as he ascended into heaven. It doesn't say the disciples ran to the synagogue right away. Rather, the text says that they worshiped right where they were. Eventually, yes, they made it to the synagogue, to the temple, but the worship began right there. Maybe our eyes are being opened to the reality that worship can happen anywhere and everywhere. We are proof that worship can happen within the comfort of our own homes. Perhaps it's opening our eyes to the minds to new ways of being the church. I was out for a walk the other day with my dog, of course, and one of our neighbors was asking about when we were going to return to worship in person because he knew I was a pastor. I told him I wasn't sure just yet. We're working on some different things, and I asked him when they would be returning, and he said the 24th, so next Sunday. But then he also said, I've gotten real comfortable worshiping in my pajamas, so I'm not really sure when they'll see me in person for worship. As he laughed a little, and I said, yeah, and your coffee too, I'm sure. I also spoke with people who aren't sure when they will be able to return for worship for health reasons, but they appreciate being able to worship from their homes. I spoke with people who are ready and said they'll be here as soon as we open for in-person worship. I spoke with families that said they wouldn't be able to wrestle their kids and make sure that they kept their mask on for some of those new guidelines or social distancing regulations or guidance. But a common denominator for each of these persons was the fact that we could still worship. Worship can still happen in the comfort of our homes. It can happen in this church building. Worship can happen. After Jesus was carried up into heaven, the disciples worshiped him. They did this before returning to the temple. Now, I'm not sure when we will re-enter the building for in-person worship, but the question I keep asking myself, a challenging question, is do I want to return to in-person worship because it's familiar and it's what I know? Do I want to go back to the way things were because that's the way I've always understood how we should do church? Even though now we are reaching and connecting with more guests than ever before and since my time of being your pastor, I have to ask these hard questions. What are we worshiping? Why are we worshiping? What is worship? Are we able to even grow as deep if we're doing things virtually? These are tough questions, but they're questions that might give us opportunities for new doors to open, new ways of being the church, so that we can take verse 47 literally, proclaiming Jesus' name to all the nations, to all the people, to all of you who are gathered virtually right now. Perhaps now we have a chance to slow down and see the possibilities and the opportunities of being the church in amazing ways. Perhaps we're more intentional on focusing on being Christ's witnesses. Perhaps we are more intentional about telling people of repentance and forgiveness of sin in Jesus' name. Or maybe in a very, very simple way, we're inviting people, our friends and our neighbors, to virtual worship, and they wouldn't attend otherwise. From this day and the days ahead, there are still unknowns, but we will find ourselves filled with possibilities like the disciples that eventually go to the temple blessing God and worshiping God. This is the very beginning of the early church, and we're going to focus more on that in our next sermon series that starts on Pentecost, so 2 weeks from today. But the ending of Luke and the book of Acts is the rest of the story. It's the beginning of where we find ourselves. It's the story that we still live to this day, the story of proclaiming God's goodness and love and the forgiveness of sins. We can still do all those things. We are still doing those things. And a year from now, we might be saying, I wish I knew then what I know now. We might find ourselves seeing this whole thing differently. We might find ourselves doing church in new and unique ways. We might be kicking ourselves for not making necessary adjustments, or we might not be prepared for the amount of growth, or we might realize that we overreacted. I'm not sure. But just like Jesus promises the Holy Spirit and the disciples at the end of his book, at the end of Luke's gospel, when he says the power from on high, we too have been promised that power from on high. We have been promised the power in Jesus' name to do some amazing things. No, we can't avoid the I wish I knew then what I know now moments in life, but we can adapt and adjust and open our eyes to the work of God in our midst. So my hope and prayer is that each of us allow God to continue to open our eyes and our minds to understand the scriptures in new ways that challenge us, that help us, allow us to grow in our faith, to understand the ways that God is moving among us. May our minds be open to the movement of God's Spirit among us that empowers us from on high to model the example of Christ. May that be our prayer this day. Now, would you pray with me as we close? God, we pray that your Spirit from on high, the power that your Spirit brings us, will lead us in this day and the days ahead, that we may be the church focused on following your will, following your Son Jesus. Help us to model his actions and his love and his forgiveness. God, give us the strength and the power to be the church you've called us to be. Open our minds to the workings of your Spirit among us. And we pray in your name, O God, Father, Son, and Spirit. Amen.